The Mad Tech Podcast, news of the week in ad tech and marketing tech, brought to you by Exchange Wire.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Mad Tech Podcast from Exchange Wire. I'm John Still, Exchange Wire's head of content, and I'm thrilled today to be joined by not just two members of the Exchange Wire team, but two members of the Exchange Wire content team. This is very, very exciting. First off, I'd love to welcome Matt Broughton. Matt, welcome.
Hi, John. Good to be here. Yeah, looking forward to this one.
And also joining us today is Mariam Akhmad. Mariam, welcome.
Great to be here, John. Really excited to get a content podcast finally.
I know, this is my dream. It's happened. We've made it happen in 2023.
Squad goals.
Content only.
It's happening.
Excellent. Cool. Right, we'll crack on with our first story, which involves Meta again. Meta is facing a major legal challenge and damages claim in Spain from AMI, an association of newspapers whose owners, whose members include the owners of publishers such as El País, ABC and La Vanguardia. The litigants are seeking more than 550 million euros for what they describe as Meta's systematic and massive non-compliance with the EU's General Data Protection Regulation, and their lack of valid legal basis for processing people's data for ads under European Union data protection rules also constitutes a competition breach that has cost them a lot of money. Matt, when we were discussing this, we sent GIFs. Not another one, another Meta lawsuit. how can this continue? And what will this one? Is this really going to stick?
I mean, in terms of how Meta's behaved over the last few years, the way they've squirmed around in terms of data consent between contractual basis to legitimate interest, to then saying, oh, we'll freely allow users to, you know, consent, and then going, psych, you actually have to pay if you want to opt out of targeted advertising, all of which have either been ruled as illegal or are currently under heavy scrutiny. It just shows how little that company respects both consumers and legislators. So I applaud any industry body, any publisher organization, or any class action lawyer in pursuing action against them, because they're just disrespectful and piss-taking at this point. Whether it will stick or not, I think obviously the initial fine, which this lawsuit came off the back of, that was only imposed in January. It's still under appeal. So this is going to drag out for quite some time. My only real concern about this in terms of whether it will stick is how GDPR's been legislated upon, and punitive action has been taken on it, because all the newspapers cited in that news article, when you go onto their websites under their cookie consent notices, the options are accept or more information. And under the terms outlined by the Spanish Data Protection Agency, it should be accept and reject have equal prominence. And that's nowhere near as egregious a breach as Facebook's doing in terms of, not ultimately giving users free consent. But look at that company and go, if this action does stick, and they do have to pay massive fines and pull out the market, they're going to do a scorched earth policy and go after the publishers for breaches along those lines, because they don't want similar action to take place in the US, which is maturing in terms of its privacy legislation, but they want to obviously put any regulators, any publishers off from taking similar action over there. Whether it will stick or not, I'm not sure, but it's going to be very, very interesting and quite spicy to look at going forward.
Yeah, I think so. It's a big one, this, and some big newspapers from Spain are involved in this case. Mariam, how do you see this? How are Meta going to face this one down?
Yeah, Matt sort of touched on the point that I was going to bring up, but obviously it speaks to part of a larger trend of media versus big tech. And I think, and this was within the article itself, which was TechCrunch, if I'm not wrong, but it mentioned the irony that, you know, European newspapers that were taking on Meta had themselves like sort of implemented cookie paywalls, and they had a sort of pay or okay method to consuming the journalism that they provide. So obviously you either pay for a sub or you agree to being tracked, you give consent to that. So I thought, and the article actually did word it as ironic. So that is something really interesting to take into account. Obviously, that being said, Meta's implications of having such vast, the implications of Meta having such vast troves of data of so many people, that could be of much higher consequence. But it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I'm curious to see how Zuck will sort of wriggle himself out of this one.
He will offer to fight them in a cage match, perhaps. Who knows? Anyway, no, it's, yeah, a hugely interesting case. And Matt, I think you touched on another interesting point in terms of the maturing privacy market in the States and, you know, how legislation is becoming more prominent there and how, you know, GDPR was seen as sort of the canary in the privacy coal mine to start with, and how that could work for the United States owned stuff. Is this, you know, are we seeing saber rattling here? Is it just people testing the water against Meta? Or do you think this could potentially lead to cases with teeth across the Atlantic?
I think there has been a kind of shift change over the last few years post-COVID in terms of how governments, legislators are looking at big tech firms. There's been a number of landmark cases within the EU, and obviously there's cases such as the ongoing DOJ case against Google going on right now, which I think has given, you know, the likes of publishers the confidence to be able to pursue these legal cases where previously I don't think they would have, because they'd have looked at all the action that the legislators were taking and going, actually, they're either not being fined or it's only being classed as minor breaches, so we wouldn't be able to get much anyway, so there's not much point in pursuing legal action. Whereas now that environment's changed somewhat. So I think this is why there has been, or at least possibly will be, a response from Meta in terms of fighting these lawsuits off. And I can only imagine they're going to do their usual trick of, oh, we will withdraw from the Spanish market entirely, simply because, like I said, their ultimate goal is to avoid any similar cases happening in the US.
Yeah. Mariam, despite legal challenges that they face on a seemingly, you know, monthly basis, are Meta too big to really ever suffer any consequences from this? They can pay what they are asked to pay. They will just threaten to leave markets. Are they, you know, have we let this go too far?
I would actually echo what Matt said there. It's definitely, I mean, we have to look at the broad implications of this. And I think, I mean, people probably thought that about Google before. And now we've, as Matt mentioned, the DOJ versus Google case. I would hope that, you know, big tech sort of sees that as a cautionary tale. Like, you guys can't just go willy-nilly and do whatever you want to do with people's data. So I would hope this sort of changes the tide. But again, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, because at the end of the day, it is Meta. They have so much power. So yeah, we'll have to see how this one plays out for sure.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a very interesting case to keep an eye on. And as you said, Matt, a spicy one to keep an eye on over the next few months. We will stick with Meta for our next story, actually, and we're going to discuss Threads a little bit. So news publishers are turning out to be a little bit cautious to pour more resource into Threads, Meta's version of a microblogging platform. Due to limited data available to their social and audience development teams, it's turning out to be difficult to determine whether investing more into the platform is actually worth it. Currently, X still gets about 100 times more web traffic than Threads worldwide, and apparently has 11 times more monthly active mobile users in the US. So I think this is a bit of a Trojan horse for us to talk about X again, because we've had some big updates this week. But I'll stick with the story to start with. Mariam, do you think, is Threads turning out to be a viable alternative? Should brands be considering Threads?
This was a really interesting one. And one thing that really stood out to me from the article and that was mentioned was one of the reasons that brands might be a little bit averse to switching, you know, totally over to Threads is because of the limited data availability. And that could pose a serious barrier to Threads being, you know, totally embraced by these brands. So obviously data is everything. Threads having a lack of data availability means that brands will have difficulty measuring ROI potentially. They'll have targeting challenges with, you know, attracting new audience segments. However, that being said, at the moment, we also have to consider, like you mentioned, John, so many big advertisers are pulling out of X. So is this Threads moment? It'll be really interesting to see how it plays out. You know, for brands, I think it makes sense at the moment to sort of consider Threads as part of more of a diversified digital strategy as opposed to putting, you know, all their eggs in one basket. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
No, very, like, the point about diversification there is really, really interesting. And, you know, maybe that is where Threads will pick up users rather than, you know, in terms of a total shift. Maybe it is that diversification. Maybe there'll be experiments. Matt, do you think brands should be considering Threads? And Do you think this is, you know, the chickens coming home to roost for X?
Yeah, I think it really shows the scale of how badly Elon Musk has fucked up that any property owned by Meta, you know, the ground zero of the Cambridge Analytica scandal, alleged driver of racial genocide, which just 3 years ago saw an exodus of hundreds of advertisers over its failure to curb hate speech. That's now seen as a safe space for advertising compared to X nowadays. I think X's only saving grace right now is that it's the first platform and it currently has that scale. However, speak to the likes of MySpace for an indication of how far that will get you in life. I think in terms of whether brands will embrace threads, I think it's not going to be an immediate shift change. Look at Twitter before the acquisition. It wasn't exactly the picture of health. User numbers, obviously there were various allegations of those being inflated by bots, but they've been quite static for a few years. Twitter is often referenced in the kind of same reverence as the likes of Google, Facebook in terms of its scale, but in terms of revenue, it's more on the level of Snap, so still obviously a very big platform, but not necessarily something I'd go behind the sofa and dig out $44 billion for. But it's a case, I think, if Threads can achieve meaningful scale with a lot of users migrating from X, which for all intents and purposes, there hasn't been too big of a user exodus yet. And as Marion mentioned, if they're not even getting as much data as they would on X, then yeah, I don't necessarily see advertisers flocking towards Threads. I think it'd be more a case of they'd be looking to diversify that spend into other social platforms, the likes of Reddit. Obviously, we've got other Twitter-esque platforms such as Mastodon. So I think it'll be more a case of looking at how that social spend can be distributed across various platforms rather than a like-for-like swap.
Yeah, it is interesting to see how, you know, Threads had all the initial momentum and then how it just sort of calmed down, and it wasn't, you know, the shiny new thing, because it wasn't a shiny new thing. It was very much a reproduction or an attempt at cloning something. I had a great chat with Richard Hayter on the pod a couple of weeks ago where we did go into X's advertising woes. We thought it might have hit rock bottom at that point, but I do want to talk about Elon Musk's, and I quote, "go fuck yourself" to advertisers this week. That really caused some shockwaves. How bad can it get, Mariam? You know, that's a hell of a thing to say to you know, Disney, to the companies that have pulled out of advertising on X. Is X, are we circling the drain now, basically?
I think it's going to get a lot worse. I mean, if I had to sum it up, like you said, we could never anticipate this, but we've kind of hit, I mean, things are looking really, really bad. Big, huge advertisers have pulled out of X. So I think we're just, you know, we're beginning to see, I don't want to say we're beginning to see the end, but I don't know how Musk can come back from this. I really don't.
Yeah, it was a deep breath moment, I think, for a lot of people. Matt, what do you think of Elon's latest run-in with the advertising world?
So, I mean, it's obviously very typical for him, but like I recanted earlier, in terms of all the things that have gone wrong at Meta over the years, they're still in vogue with advertisers. So I think if that scale remains, it's almost a case of it could get a lot worse, and advertisers could eventually either stick with X or at least go back to it. But I do think there needs to be major, major changes to that platform. And I think Linda Yaccarino needs to, I don't know, sew Musk's mouth shut, because that's the only way I think she's ever going to be able to entice advertisers that have poor spending back, as well as obviously, you know, curbing the massive amounts of hatred and bile that has been unleashed on the platform.
Yeah, I mean, if her success in the role of CEO X rests on his ability to self-censor, then she's been onto a loser from the beginning, and it's only going downhill. Anyway, I'm sure Mr. Musk will give us plenty more to come back to over the next, you know, months, years. But yeah, interesting to see how Threads really gets a hold in the marketplace as it reaches a bit more maturity next year. Our final story... Spotify has cut more than 1,500 jobs amid rising costs, apparently. They were in the news, obviously, last week after releasing Spotify Wrapped, which is a very interesting product and very, very well thought out marketing tool for themselves. But despite that, they have laid off 17% of the workforce this week. The company's blamed the slow economy and higher borrowing costs. Early this year, the workforce was already cut back by 6%, and another 2% went in June. So it's, not a great time for Spotify. Matt, what do you think this says about the music industry's dominant player at the moment?
So I would say, well, some would say that wrapping Spotify Wrapped with an employee scrap due to a capital gap by falling into a podcast spending trap while being mightily crap has not been a corporate mishap and has actually increased its market cap. Not sure who would say that, but some would say that.
That is wonderful. Excellent.
I spent far too long preparing that. But yeah, in terms of what it says about the music industry's dominant player, I think look at the music industry before the likes of Spotify came on the scene. For full disclosure, I use Spotify Premium, and the user experience on it compared to the likes of the days where you download individual tracks, not have them on a single platform, but now you can just click, search all the tunes basically you could ever want in the world right at your fingertips. That a company with that scale and that level of user experience is struggling to turn a profit without, cutting vast swathes of its staff. And there's also been stories in the week about them cutting various podcasts, so obviously trimming product. Due to the high rates it has to pay to other players within the market, such as the record companies, and then obviously there's the ongoing issue within the music industry about lack of revenue going to the artists, it really goes to show how important ongoing cases in and around the music industry and in and around entertainment and obviously media in general, such as Epic versus Apple, Epic versus Google, and the DOJ versus Google case are, because it really shines a light on how much big tech and other middlemen are taking out of the market. We've obviously experienced that for a while in the advertising industry, and there's obviously the ANA report that's come out this week in terms of how much media spend is actually getting back to the publishers. It's really goes as a kind of case in point to how important those cases are, and the discussion around how much fees are being paid, how fair those fees are, what are the middlemen as such, what are they actually doing to earn those high rates of commission. It's an interesting one.
Yeah, and Mariam, how do you think this really, what's the impact of this, and how are Spotify handling it?
Yeah, this was a really interesting one. And in the article, it sort of mentioned how this was like the post-pandemic version of the chickens coming home to roost. So it was said that Spotify actually took advantage of some of the cheaper cheap borrowing due to lower interest rates. And now obviously fast forward 2 or 3 years post-pandemic, they say that their cost structure is too large. So I think this speaks to big tech as a whole. We see mass layoffs. I think it was something like 250,000 across the board, to have leaner operations, so they say. That being said, though, I really do think, as Matt mentioned, it's hard to beat. I think Spotify is going to stay on top. I really do. I mean, from an individual standpoint, I have not seen a music streaming app that's as good as Spotify. And I think I read somewhere else that they are managing, despite all these cuts and, layoffs, they're still managing to retain their user base. And they're sort of noting a growth in user base that's quite healthy. So whether or not this affects, how many people download Spotify or pay for it, I'm not sure it will, in a negative way anyway. It's just unfortunate, really. That so many people are being laid off.
Yeah, it's on, to that point, it is awful news, and it's terrible along the board with everything we've seen this year in terms of the tech layoffs that have had to happen and that have happened. There's a lot of questions around Spotify. As you say, the user experience, it will continue to attract people because it's very good. It has a really good offering. Spotify Wrapped does excite people. I'm not quite sure how they've managed to find a cute and marketable way of saying how much data they keep of yours when you use their service, but they have, because it was all over everyone's social media. And I was looking forward to hearing our team's top artists when it came out last week, because, you know, we're all on the platform. But it's, yeah, I mean, I think the more questions are going to be continued to ask in terms of what they pay artists. They're attempting to not pay artists for songs with less than 1,000 streams at the moment anyway. But no, very, very interesting. And plenty more to come from Spotify as well. So yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's an interesting time for Spotify. And they have tried to capture the market in a few different areas. In audiobooks was a big one from last year, and podcasts in particular has been something that they have thrown a lot of money at. Matt, what do you think? How will that be impacted by the recent news?
Yeah, I think in terms of the shows they've cut, they've primarily been on that podcasting side. They spent a hell of a lot of money, like you flagged, over the course of the pandemic, on podcasting providers, exclusivity for various shows. Some of them have obviously worked out very well. Some of them, Harry and Meghan, not so much. So they've kind of, I think their position, they've kind of overcapitalized on a golden goose that hasn't laid its egg yet. It could come with podcasts. I'd love the format for podcasts, and I think in terms of engagement within them, it's very, very strong, very, very high. But in terms of their overall ad experience, it still can be a little bit weird. There's several podcasts where, say, for example, you pay for a premium service and not get served ads, they'll still serve in podcast ads read out by the presenter, and it kind of ruffles the experience. But obviously, as creators, they've still got to get paid. And if they're not getting remunerated fairly, then you can understand why they're doing that. So I think in terms of how media is integrated within podcasts, I think it's still an evolving conversation. But yeah, I'm still very, very, very bullish on audio and podcasts. It's just a case of tweaking a few things to get that user experience right, wider conversations in terms of how money flows through the audio industry. Obviously, there's several providers in terms of ad tech that are looking to help that. But yes, it's a very interesting space, but more things to be ironed out. But I think eventually it could be a winner, but at the same time, it's just not quite earning the level of revenue that Spotify needs to at this time.
Cool. Well, yeah, I'm sure there is, yeah, like you say, you know, bullish on the audio industry in a whole. Interesting always to see what Spotify is up to. And you will be able to read a lot more about audio in our predictions. ExchangeWire will next week start launching our 2024 prediction series. Audio is one. There are plenty more to look out for. So keep an eye out for those on exchangewire.com. We're going to leave it there for today. Mariam, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, John. It was fantastic to be here.
No worries. And Matt, thank you very much for joining.
Thanks, guys. Been an absolute hoot.
Excellent. Content team for the win. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll be back next week.